We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, everybody. You good? You well? I hope so. Insane in the membrane. Thank you again for tuning in. It's a pleasure to have you on board. I hope you've enjoyed the episodes thus far. We've also got some good names coming up. I'll keep you posted about that later on, but we've got on another edition. But we've got good names coming, so stay tuned. Speaking of good names, this week I'm joined by my mate, Aussie comic Mick Nevin. I've known Mick a couple of years, met him in Melbourne 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Again, top dude, and I kept seeing him in Edinburgh, and I kept saying to him, got to get you on, got to get you on. We never really got round to it, but I managed to grab him just before he headed back to Australia, end of last summer, 2019. But I couldn't find anywhere to do it. I didn't have a venue because he was up in Manchester. And I was sort of around and about, so I didn't know what to do. So we ended up recording this in my car, in an Asda car park. So thank you to Asda. Big fans of Asda, Jade and I. Jade having used to work there. Her mum worked there for 30 years. I've always loved Asda. I think Asda's got to be my favourite supermarket, to be honest. A fair price for fairly decent food. I like Asda, so big up yourselves, Asda. So I grabbed Mick in the car park of Asda in Sheffield, and we talked about broken families, we talked failing relationships, and more. So without further ado, Mick Nevin.
Well, that'll go there.
Right, here we go.
Here we go, mate.
Mick Nevin. Sorry, mate, keep hanging around and all that shit, but you got to see the cholera.
I did.
Cholera thing.
Yeah.
That's what we like to do over here. I don't know what it's like in Australia, but we like to celebrate all the illness.
It's a pretty savage disease. 1,300 people got infected, 400 dead.
Yeah, right.
And there's a grave up there where the guy, he like caught it in the morning and was dead in the afternoon.
What?
Yeah, I know.
See, this is what I like about like you guys. I've got a few friends through comedy that from Australia, and like you know more about this place than I do. Like, we live here. None of us give a fuck. We don't look at this shit. It's like when you lot come up and then you're like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna nip over to Amsterdam. I'm gonna go to Paris, and we're like, they're like, ah, oh, when did you do that? We're like, no, we never go.
Yeah,
but it's literally a train ride away.
It's across, yeah. It's yeah. A couple of hours.
Yeah, we don't bother.
A couple of hours.
Just moaning all the time, and yeah. So it's good to have you here, man. And yeah, all this is, it's just, as you've heard a few episodes.
Yes.
It's just that chat, just having a chat and about men things and you know, that kind of thing. And, yeah, but you're all right now, because you had,
A couple of years ago, ended my marriage, yes.
Yeah.
Which was that was a tough thing. I do recall I reached out to you for some help. And,
you
kept palming me off.
Because you reached out to me in Edinburgh, having my head up my arse. That's the thing. He's like, oh, I reached out. I go, yeah, you did. And it was shit. I should have been more on it.
But being you're in your Edinburgh bubble, exactly. So you're fucking bullshit. You got your own shit going on. But yeah, I do think about it when like me when we see each other. I'm like, oh yeah, that was shit. I should have been more on it. But yeah, you sounded like you just went, ah, fuck it, and then went and dealt with it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is hard because you were. How long were you married for?
12 years.
12 years,
yeah,
mate.
Together for 15.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. You know, it's just it was hard. I made some bad decisions and wasn't honest and. But then you just, I don't know. You get stuck and you feel. How do you get trapped and?
Mm, yeah.
There's, you know.
There's no easy way of doing it when
there's just no easy way to do it. And then you're like, I remember I was just sitting in the garden in Edinburgh and I just thought, you know what, I just have to go home and just do it.
Yeah.
And just felt a weight.
Mm.
Just come on, like a physically just, well, as soon as I decided in my head, I'm like, that's it, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to, because I've been in situations like that when I've been in a relationship and it's not working out, but I didn't have the balls to say, listen, this isn't working out. I'd met someone else and then I was like, oh shit, I got feelings for this person. Ah, oh, fuck, I don't want to let that person down. Very selfish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of me.
Yeah.
And then you get it right, then you get this fucking mess where you don't upset anybody and then it all comes out anyway.
Yep.
And yeah, you end up upsetting everyone. Whereas you just went, fuck it, I'm going to go and be honest and just say, and just, you just went and just said, look, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, which must have been fucking horrible.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It's still horrible now, you know.
Oh, like, really? Yeah, the fallout.
My ex-wife's a good person. She didn't deserve any... She, it's just... we won't go too deep into the details of it, mate. We don't need to. But, it's just that, you know, you don't feel good about it.
No.
Someone's always getting hurt.
Mm, yeah.
You get in a bad place yourself, you know. I didn't even realise it. Like, I was pretty depressed and you know had some counselling afterwards and stuff like that, which is all, you know, it's funny, you don't, you know, we're weird. Like one of my mates got divorced just last year and another mate rang me up and told me about it and he said, oh, you know, you might want to reach out to him, he's moving out today and blah blah blah. And this is like a pre-comedy mate, one of my best mates. And so I ring him up, hey, how are you, mate? Oh yeah, good, how are you? Yeah, no worries. Yeah, talked to him for about 10 minutes and then I said, anything else you want to tell me?
Fuck me.
And he goes, what are you talking about? I go, well, you know, just anything else. And he goes, ah, you've talked to Craig, haven't you?
Is that a thing? Because Australian men particularly seem more manly and more, ah, yeah, fuck it, I'm not talking about that. I don't need to talk about that. Is that an Australian thing or is that just a stereotype I'm looking at?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just I think all men get bought up to be manly to a certain extent, and some more than others. Maybe it's just because we're more tanned. You think we're more manly?
Yeah. we've seen all the films and all the TV shows, and it's all like you're all cooking outdoors, and you're all athletic, and you're all fucking man. We want a ute, and you're drinking beer, and you know the usual stereotypes. So we just go, oh yeah, well they just bang their heads together, and then they get on with it. It's not real.
Move on with your life. It's easier, like, you know, when you're outside in the sun too, things are more pleasant.
It is true, isn't it? Yeah, I think that's why we're gloomy, because everything's wet.
Yeah, miserable.
Yeah. It's true, man. Everything's fucking wet or damp or it's... And that's why we go crazy when it's the sun. We go fucking bananas.
Well, we were at the cricket at the Ashes, and the weather does affect you. Like, that's a thing that's happened to people when they come to England and live and work here and stuff. Like, they're here for 4 months, and all of a sudden they get real homesick and depressed. They're not really that homesick. They just haven't had their usual dose of vitamin D. And we were at the cricket, and it rained on the day we were at the cricket, so the rain came in. And I just kept looking, oh, there's a gap in the clouds over there, that's going to clear up. And then I was with my girlfriend and her family, and they're like, oh, that's Australian optimism, that is, because you haven't had every birthday of your life ruined by the rain. That's why you think it's going to clear up.
So you see that gap, you go, oh, yeah, this is going. Then yeah, here we go, yeah, no, that's going to close up. There's going to be more rain. But I've been in that situation where, like I just said, I was with in a relationship and the feelings had gone, but I didn't know how to deal with it. And then I'd met someone else, and that's the thing. People, people assume that, I mean, there are men out there that do that. They are like just notches on the bedpost and they're like,
yeah.
Oh, I got these women here and these women there, I'm doing that. But the majority of people that get into these situations aren't doing it. They're not doing it for that. You don't know how to deal with it. Like I said, you don't upset anybody and you've met someone you want to move on and it's difficult to deal with. So I admire you for going, I'm going to just go back, I'm going to tell her that she deserves that much, you know?
Yeah.
And the flight back must have, because that's a long flight with that on your mind.
I just did it, basically got home and then we sat down and had a chat and that was that.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of days of dealing with it and then I was moved out.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
And you got your little girl as well.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's part of it. My parents separated when I was really young. And, you know, you can't excuse behaviour, but there's always reasons for it. And I just didn't want to, you know, in my head, because I guess I was pretty scarred, but I've always put on a brave face about it. But, like, the thought of moving out, that was always a thing. It's like, nah, my daughter, I don't want her to have, you know, the single parent family business like what I had.
Did you have it when your mum and dad, because my mum and dad stayed together.
Yeah.
Even though there's been years where they hated each other or it wasn't pleasant between them. Was your mum and dad split up? Did you go like back and forth? Were they not talking to each other?
I went back and forth, and then mum, when she remarried, and then decided that we weren't going to see our dad for a few years. So that was like six years or something. Give the new guy a chance, apparently.
Oh fuck me! Oh wow, I've never heard that before. Yeah. So that's
Yeah.
And then so as a kid, you've got to get your head around that.
So we're like, you know, I've got like early memories. Like they separated before I can remember having dad at home. And then so early memories of like, you know, going to see dad and having holidays at dad's and stuff like that, and then mum remarried, and then that was the end of that. For a few years.
And then you never did you go and see your dad's, did you have any contact with your dad?
And then after mum's second marriage ended, then she, you know, just reached out to him, and then basically just came in. We got home from school one day, and she said, "I've just spoken to your dad on the phone. You're going there for Christmas."
Fuck. Oh my god! But your head like, busted. Yeah,
hadn't seen him for 6 years, so that was pretty full on.
Shit, man.
Yeah. So then we flew down, and that was like we got to go on a plane, mate, which was exciting in 1986. You know,
go on a plane.
People didn't fly on planes in 1986. You know, not poor people anyway. And
what did your dad have to say? I mean, fuck.
Oh, man, it was pretty hectic. Like, I was 12, I guess. Hadn't seen him since I was 6. So, just like walked off the plane with the stewards, with the hostesses, with my brother, and then...
Oh, they sent you on your own?
Yeah. Unaccompanied. Unaccompanied minors. And, just walked off the plane, and he was just sitting at the end of the...
Fuck.
In the lounge thing, and just all three of us just burst into tears.
Yeah. Mate. Fuck, man.
Yeah, it was full on.
And do you think that's affected you later on at all? I know it sounds cliche to ask that, but is it, or are you just like, it's fine. It's just what it was. You just accepted it.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always, and that's the thing, you know, like when people go, I've had a terrible life because of what happened when I was a kid. It's like, always in my head, I'm just, you pussy. Fucking harden up, get on with your life.
Yeah,
you know?
There comes a time when you've got to dig deep and go, do you know what? I'm not going to let this. It was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
But there comes a time you just got to own it and go, fuck it.
Everybody deals with their trauma differently.
You
know, I always think about it like in war, there are people who go and they just fall to pieces and they can't handle it. And then there are people who get into it and they thrive and, you know, they just... You know, the bombs don't scare them, getting shot at, whatever, they thrive. We all just deal with our trauma differently. So some people's parents get divorced and it ruins their life and they never recover. And some people's parents get divorced and they just move on. And I don't know.
I think I was talking about this the other day to someone, and you can tell what kind of a person you are by how you react when the shit hits the fan. And I've had a few occasions that have happened where I've like someone said to me the other day, yeah, you always walk towards it, whereas some people will back off.
Yeah.
So if something blows up, I'm like, oh, all right, okay, let's fucking deal with it. Yeah. And that, yeah. But there seems to be, especially nowadays at the moment, we're going through this phase where everybody wants to be seen to be struggling. Everyone wants to be seen to be busy. Everyone wants to be seen to be struggling, and they've had some kind of shit happen, and they're going, despite that, I'm still getting on, and it seems to be this fashion at the moment. I'm not saying there are some people that have gone through some heavy fucking shit, but it just seems everybody's now got this thing.
Well, let's call it the Britain's Got Talent, the Australia's Got Talent effect. You can go on a talent show and be the funniest dude on the show, but if you don't have a story to tell, they don't want to know about you.
Yeah, you're right, man.
You know,
yeah. Jade got asked to do Britain's Got Talent every year because her sister died, and we're like, yeah, we'd have the story, You know, yeah, but what about the fact I can sing? Like, yeah, I have the story.
Yeah,
and now everyone's got it. Everyone wants that. And you know what? You're fucking right. I hadn't really thought about that before.
Yeah,
everyone's got a thing, you know, and everyone wants to have a. Everyone wants to have a particular. Like if they find if they go, oh, I'm a little bit OCD. Oh, I've got ADHD. Yeah. They go, oh yeah, that's my thing. And you're like, why do you want a thing?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. The producers will love this story. If I went on Britain's Got Talent or Australia's Got Talent, I'd have to be like, oh yeah, you know, my parents they got divorced when I was three, and then when mum remarried, we didn't see our dad for 6 years, and that's really true. And you know, I just want him to be proud of me to see me doing well in comedy, and you know.
Oh man, hey, fuck off!
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like I said, there's a lot of people that have had a load of shit go on. And, you know, and they are actually having to work through stuff. And some people have mental illnesses that really are debilitating.
Yeah.
But everybody, I see it on social media all the time. You know, I'm just getting through my day. And, there comes a point where you've got to take responsibility and go, just get through this.
Yeah.
Just do your live your life.
It's also that thing. You don't know how these things, like how they do affect your behaviour and stuff like that. Like, you know, my girlfriend I'm meeting, you know, how long we've been together, like a year and a half or something. And that's my girlfriend, the comedian, actress, Nikki Wilkinson.
She's an actress.
And, you know, I'm meeting her friends and stuff. And she's saying to me, you're so, you're very reserved with, you know, I think they don't like you. They think you don't like them and stuff like that. And then you realise, you think, oh, well, that's, you know, I am standoffish with people.
I think you are actually, because when I first met you in Melbourne a few years ago, it would have been 4 years ago now. Yeah, I couldn't work out. Well, because we were having beers and everyone was hanging out, but I do remember thinking, I didn't know where I stood with you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you are quite.
Yeah, I'm not standoffish. I guess I'm not super open when I first meet people and stuff like that.
No.
You know? And sometimes it takes a while, you know. And some, you know, it takes a while for me to sort of open up, I guess.
Yeah. I find, because I'm with Jade, everybody's a cunt until proven otherwise.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, everyone's cool.
Until they prove themselves a cunt.
And it's very, that's how we do. I don't know how, if that's the same, which one of those you are.
Yeah, I don't think I'm that. I just think I'm I just sort of
bide your time.
Just hold myself back a bit. Which is, and then, you know, it's been Nikki's pointed that out to me, and then so I'll try to.
That's the thing.
Awareness is the key to change. And if someone makes you aware of something and you go, oh well, that is a sort of a learned behaviour from things that happened when I was a kid, and I can. Now, if I'm aware of it, I can sort of try to change it.
A protection thing, almost. Yeah, definitely. Because I've got this, I have this need, this real, like, it's a fucking mad need to be liked by everybody.
Yeah.
And it really upsets me when someone doesn't like me. And I'm like, 47, what the fuck do I care about that shit? But you know, you can't be liked by everybody.
That's it. Some people just, bad the same chemistry. Reason that you... really attracted to someone, and that same chemistry happens in reverse.
Yeah, definitely.
You will meet people just go, nah, not for me.
Yeah, there's been a few of them.
Not for me. And then, we're on tour together? Shit.
Shit. There's been a few of them. But that's, I don't know, man. It's fucking, I just, everybody, when I was younger, everybody seemed to have a handle on it, on relationships. And, but this relationship I've got now, I think it's been the longest one I've ever had.
Right.
And I'm like, fuck, man, I'm 47. Why has that happened? I just kind of, I get swept up in it. Like, I meet someone, I go, you're the one.
You're the one.
And then I would move in straight away. And I'm not, that's not to take away from anyone I've ever been with. This is the other thing as well. Once you've been in my life, I'm like, I know, we have a connection. And like, if anyone I've ever known ever was to call me, I'd be like, hey, how you doing? And I wouldn't have a problem. Whereas other people go, no, that was that part of that life. Yeah. We're not friends now.
Yeah.
And that blows
We've
my
moved
mind.
On.
Yeah. That
you,
blows my
you
mind.
You were a cunt.
Yeah. You go, yeah, I know, but I'm not a cunt now. Yeah.
But I've changed.
You go, yeah, but you fucking hurt me. You go, no, but that was then.
Yeah.
But it always seemed, I see people that, I know a friend of mine, they've only ever been together since they were kids. They've never been with anybody else. They got kids now, and you're like, I don't know how that seems weird.
Yeah, that's in my head. If I hear something like that, I'm just like, what? What? Yeah. How?
Like, you've not been anywhere else.
What? It's, you know, and also like when people, you know, I'm amazed that you know, people lived in one house and grew up in one house.
Yeah,
you know, I went to 13 primary schools.
Fucking hell.
And you know, and probably moved house once a year. You know, shit. If we lived somewhere that wasn't for more than a year, that was a rare thing.
So we're getting to it now.
Yeah, Jesus, I'm a messed up you. Yeah, oh my God. Rich, what have you done to me?
That's it, I told you. This is you were fucking made to be a comedian.
But yeah, and that's, so you think about, and then someone's like, oh, and you know, their parents still live in the house that they grew up in, and they go and stay.
Yeah, my mum and dad do.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So when you go and visit your folks, you stay in the bedroom that you...
They're still in that same house.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. You got to remember that our houses over here are tiny.
In comparison,
I mean, you've got sprawling farms. Yeah. We've got these tiny little houses, like two rooms downstairs, two up. And
they are small.
They're very small. But like coming up here today, There's not a lot of room.
Yeah.
And we're all bunched in together. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. That'll only take me 3 hours. Of course it won't. We're all going in the same direction. Yeah. It's going to fucking take forever. I don't know. I always thought everyone else had a handle on relationships. And I thought I was the weird one because I'd be in a relationship for a couple of years and go, oh, no, I'm not feeling this. But I don't have the courage to tell that person. And then I'd meet someone else and go, oh, I really like this person. And, oh shit, now I'm in this fucking mess again.
Yep.
And it was cowardly. But yeah, I always admired people that could go, I'm not feeling this anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, like I say, I wasn't the best husband, and I wasn't a faithful husband, but you come up with these things while you're in it, and it's like, oh, this'll work, and this is, you know, and you talk. And sometimes you just got to go, this is not...
Yeah. Just this. I think there's that, again, like I was saying before, there's that misconception that if someone's cheating on someone, it's because they want to be cunts. They want to, like, oh, yeah, I've got this bird on the side and I'm doing this. And there are some men like that, but there's a lot of people that are just in a situation and they don't know how to
handle it. And when you're unhappy, the you know, taking that tough decision and ending relationship is like, that's the correct thing to do. You're unhappy, talked about it, tried to be happy, pretended to be happy, but then you just, there's, for whatever reasons, and everyone's got their own different reasons, you know, it was bloody tough.
Yeah
Like the heart, you know, when I told my daughter that I was moving out, that was like,
fuck,
just,
man,
broke my heart, man. I just went downstairs under the house and just cried, you know.
Yeah.
Just, but, you know, ended up to try and not do the thing
that happened to me when I was a kid ended up doing the thing that happened to me when I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible.
But people go, oh, it's a pattern. You go, no, no, it's just how it was.
Yeah.
It's like when the mother of my kids, we spent the 90s getting back together and splitting up and getting back together. And I cheated on her a shitload. And I remember coming in one day and I thought, oh, I'm going to go and surprise her. And I came in one night and she was spooning sleep on the floor with this other guy on the lounge floor. You know, and I was just stood over him and I said, she woke up and she's like, fucking yeah. And then she's like, yeah, but you've been cheating on me. Like, that's not a fucking point. So it's all this bullshit throughout the 90s. And my lads, they've grown up and they're cool boys. We've spoken about it. They go, no, it's just a pair of idiots. But they're not too badly scarred.
Yeah.
But I do remember my eldest especially... Because what I used to do was do a really shitty thing where I'd instigate an argument. And if I knew I had to go out, I'd be like, fuck this, fuck you. And she'd be like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, nah, not fucking having it. And then my little boy would be crying. He's like, don't go, Dad. And because I had all this shit going on in my own head. And yeah, and I think back to it now. It makes me shudder when I think back. I'm not proud of it at all. But it was just where my head was at. At the time.
And you look back and you can, you know, like I say, being awareness is the key to change. So you wouldn't do that now.
No.
Would you?
No. Thomas said that to me. I was talking to John Hastings and he said, we were talking about that. We were talking about having an affair and things like that. And he was talking about Jade and he's like, man, where would you go? everything surrounds Jade. He's like, where would you go? The moon? It's like this. If you were to cheat on Jade, he said, you'd be fucked.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, I know. But I don't want to. I don't get that feeling that I want to do that. I never wanted to cheat on anyone anyway. It wasn't a thing I wanted to do. I was just unhappy where I was.
It's just about it. It's about being unhappy. And then you try to, you outsource your unhappiness into your penis. You think, that'll cheer me up.
You know? I know when I'm really depressed because I just masturbate all the time. Am I doing this again? Like a fucking gibbon.
Yeah.
Because it's the only thing that's giving me...
You get a little bit of a rush.
Yeah. And even then I'm like, oh, I'm just bored with this now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. And then, you don't notice how unhappy you are while you're in it.
No.
As part of the problem as well. And, then, you know, when I rang up one of my mates and told him I was, separating from my wife, and he's like, seriously? I said, yeah. And he goes, so you're not going to be getting back together? I said, no, done. And he goes, well, thank fuck for that.
Yeah, right. So even your friends noticed.
I said, what are you talking about? And he just said, well, for the whole time you've been with her, I've been dealing with two of you. There's the you when you come visit me by yourself. And I'm like, that's me old mate, Mick. You know, that's the bloke I met when we were surfing and down the beach at Broadbeach and hanging out. And then when you come visit and you're with her, you're a totally different person.
Oh, mate. And you didn't even realise?
No.
Fuck, man.
No.
That's right. And it's funny, when I remember being in a particular relationship.
You get with someone and you do change and you sort of change together and whatever. But, you shouldn't be... It shouldn't be that different.
No, and especially if it's not a happy difference either.
Not a happy difference, yeah.
I remember being in a particular relationship and thinking, oh, everyone's going to be really upset when I tell them we've split up. And I remember breaking up and then going around and seeing him and they go, oh, what happened? I'm like, oh, yeah, it just wasn't working out. And we've gone, she found out I was fucking about and it's all exploded. And I went, oh, I didn't like her anyway. I go, what?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Why didn't you tell me?
Could have said something.
Yeah. And then, but these aren't, I'm sounding really callous and really like I don't give a shit, but I do give a shit and I've given a shit about everybody I've ever been out with.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be that guy that was fucking about. This is why I went to have counselling, because I wanted to find out why I was doing it.
Yeah.
And he told me, he goes, you need affirmation from women. You need women to turn around and say, no, you're all right, you're all right. Because I had a lot of negativity when I was growing up from women. They were all sort of sat around, all the older women, all the mums that would be sat around just cunting the men off.
Yeah, right.
And then being negative to me. And so I grew up thinking that being a man, subconsciously growing up thinking that being a man was a shit thing. And so I'd meet women and I'd need them to, I'd go all out for them to go, you're the best thing I've ever met.
Yeah.
You're amazing. And as soon as I got that, that's when it would switch off.
Yeah.
And, oh, I got what I needed. And then it's fucking selfish.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, okay, cool. I'm like, oh, shit. That's when the curtains would open and I'm like, oh, no, I thought this was the one.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I've made all these promises and I've done all this bollocks. Oh, shit, now I'm going to have to upset this person because I'm a cunt. And just this, and it was just this complete, this repetitive cycle of bullshit. And so that's why having counselling helped me with all that. It helped me realise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how long did you have counselling for?
Oh, my counsellor broke up with me, actually. He didn't.
It wasn't connected.
No, I went and had, you know, because like I say, I got depressed, had some suicidal thoughts, and you know, that made me go, oh, that's how I do it, and that way no one would get hurt. So I went and talked about all that, and he just said, I was depressed from, it was situational, not like I was just unhappy.
Yeah, he wasn't like
that.
A...
continued unhappiness just builds up. And, you know, and then he's saying, he goes, look, people that I worry about are people who are using lots of, substance, drinking lots and taking drugs and smoking lots of weed. And they're not eating well and they're not healthy. And he goes, you're out of it.
Yeah.
The thing that was making you unhappy is you're out of it. Real it's going to be tough. Yeah. You got some tough times ahead, but you don't need to come. You don't need to.
Yeah, okay.
You don't need to keep seeing me. You just need to keep doing, you know.
Yeah.
Keep eating well. Keep exercising.
Yeah. But that's it, isn't it? You would have started, and you've always looked after yourself, but you seem to fling yourself into exercise and positive thinking and,
you don't realise how, and that's like one of the key things, you know, for your mental health is to at least be out in the fresh air and moving your body around, because that's, you know, that's endorphins and stuff like that. It makes you, and like I've done it all my life. I've always exercised and sort of looked after myself and eaten healthy and stuff like that. So you don't even realise what it's doing for you until you stop. And then, you know, you might have a couple of weeks off or a month off, or you go to Edinburgh and you don't. You know, you get caught up in that, and then all of a sudden you go for a run again. It's like, I'm back.
It's true, though.
You know, you don't, and you, in your head you think, well, I want to keep fit because, you know, I don't want to get old. And but the main reason you should be doing it is just for your own, for your well-being.
Yeah, definitely. I know I find when I get depressed, when I'll spend days just laying there doing nothing.
Yeah.
And it's not until I go, I get bored with doing that, I'm like, fuck, come on, and I go out. And go for a walk. And I live right by where the river goes out to sea.
Yep.
So I live right on the water's edge. It's like, why am I not walking along here every day?
Yeah.
You know, just little things like that. And it does make a difference. Like Jade and I have been, lately, we've just been eating more healthy and not eating late at night, not eating shit.
Yep.
And already I'm starting, I know, I already feel, I'm feeling I can deal with a few things now.
Yeah. You and, you know, eating like sugar and stuff like that, it's all...
Which is poison, isn't it?
Yeah, it's poison. Yeah. But it's another buzz.
Yeah.
It's another thing where you buy, woo, that was good. Woo! You don't need to run up a hill. You can just go and eat a cake, man. Woo!
Oh, ice cream's your shit, isn't it?
Oh, that's the worst, man. It's the worst. I'll even be standing in the supermarket and I'll stand in front of the ice cream and I'm like, oh, that's on special. And then convince myself, no, you know what?
Yeah.
Just walk away. Right. And then I'll be back and I'm like, oh. I'll go past the ice cream just three or four times in a shop. No, you don't need it.
Just and to put like porn.
And then I'll buy like a, you know, they should, like, the ice cream doesn't get sold in, you know, pints, half pints, litres, five, whatever it is. It just gets sold in the amount that is going to make you not completely disgusted with yourself when you eat it all in one hit.
I was at someone's house the other day and we were having dinner and they went, oh, do you want some ice cream? I'm like, yeah. And they brought out the Haagen-Dazs, like the normal pots that they have.
Yep.
And then we're sharing it out between us. And I was looking at it going, man, I normally have just that.
Yeah.
Just that on my own. Strawberry cheesecake, I'm just ploughing through it.
I'll go like and buy it. If I do crack, like I'll be like, right, that's it. I'm just having ice cream tonight. Fuck, you know, I ran 15Ks yesterday and I went to boxing dinner. I'm having some ice cream. I've earned it, right? And I'll get the ice cream. I'll buy like a Bounty or a Violet Crumble or a Crunchy or something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because the choc fudge super caramel brownie ice cream. That's not enough by itself. You got to chop up some Bounty and stir that through. And then you'll have like a bowl ice cream with some Bounty, half the tub, put it back in the freezer, right. And then you go, all right, that's me ice cream done. And then, do you want to watch another episode? And you go, well, I could watch another episode. Maybe have a bit more ice cream. And then you leave like two scoops at the bottom.
Oh yeah, so you don't feel that bad.
And then you go, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Nevo. You didn't eat the whole tub. And then you wake up first thing in the morning and go, fuck it, there's only two scoops. I may as well finish it off. Horrendous.
Oh mate. Yeah, we've got to the point we don't even buy it, right? Because if that's in the house,
yeah,
you're eating it.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't even have it. Or what we do now, we get those goo things in little pots, these little puddings, and so we have one each.
Yeah.
All right, that's all you need. So there's no more in the house. We had a bad time recently where Jade's doing this TV show of all this food, and she went to see where they make Kit Kats, and then they just gave her a fucking bag of Kit Kats. I mean, I'm talking like a sleeping bag full of Kit Kats, and then so we've been, oh man.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. And then, like, you could just throw it out, right? You could just put it in the bin. But then I get this thing, you know what? Just plow through it. The sooner it's eaten, the sooner it's not in the house anymore. You don't have to worry about it. So, you know,
get it done.
Like at Halloween or something, you know, where somehow you wind up with a shitload of chocolate and lollies and some weird stuff. And say, yeah, just eat it. I'm just going to finish it all off.
Yeah, you can't just... Because Jay's got this weird thing about throwing food away as well.
Yeah.
Like, if we buy shopping and we don't get through it all and it goes off,
yeah,
we throw it away. She's gutted. Like, we had a load of celery and we'd used a bit and then we'd just been away, so it just went brown.
Yeah.
And then she said, where's that celery? I went, it went brown. You can't eat that. Yeah. And she was gutted. Let's get some oxygen in this car, man. Fuck. Yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you so much for coming down. Really appreciate it. Insane in the Membrane podcast.
Insane in the Membrane is back for another live podcast recording on Sunday the 23rd of February.
I found that through humour, people open up and we have a laugh. And I really appreciate you coming down and doing this.
This is an intimate live show with comedian Rich Wilson and very special surprise guest in front of a small audience at the Pleasance Islington. In fact, you are so close to the comedians, you could probably lick them.
We can have a laugh while we do it. I think that's what I'm trying to show with the podcast.
January's a struggle for us all, so put yourself something to look forward to in February. Insane in the Membrane live at the Pleasance. Sunday, Feb 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Just £5. Nearest tube, Caledonian Road, Piccadilly Line. Dead easy, no excuses.
You did great, Rich.
Thanks, Bob.
You did great.
Thank you.
Click the link in the show description for this episode on your podcast app or go to pleasance.co.uk.
What do we do now?
I don't know. I think that's it. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Now, back to Rich Wilson.
Yeah. Just to the listeners, we sat in my car doing this.
As the car park.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I've never done this in the car before. I've done it sat by a canal.
Oh, that would have been nice.
Did that with Mishka Shubali. And we sat by the canal in the summer and just sat there and people were chipping in.
That'd be lovely. I like the canals.
Nice. Yeah, canals are nice. Canals, we don't get those in Australia.
No,
do
we don't have canals.
No. I suppose it was all your freight would have been done.
Trains, bullocks.
Yeah.
Bullock wagons, train, paddle steamers. We had paddle steamers.
Shit, yeah.
For a while.
Yeah. Fuck, man. I do like Australia.
It's not without its charms.
Yeah.
It's not
without its charms. You know where you're at with an Australian.
Oh, it seems. We're very poorly led at the moment by a government that preying on the fears and insecurities of people.
Mm.
Like, you know, and I know, I do a joke, you know, where I say I'm aware that Australia's, Australia's reputation has changed, you know, and that Australia, I know that people from other countries, like we used to be cool.
Right, yeah.
We used to be able to go overseas, someone would say, where are you from? I'm from Australia. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But now I know our stereotypes change, because the stereotype of Australians now is people from other countries think that Australians are alcoholic racists.
Oh, yeah, there's a bit of that.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's everyone in the crowd just nods and you go, yeah, well, like, and then the joke is, well, that's a horrible stereotype. Alcoholic racists. It's not even true, because in the last 15 years, our alcohol consumption per capita has gone right down. And I think that's because of all the Muslim immigrants. And it's a funny joke, and people go, like, hey, I get it. You're trying to claim you're not a racist, and you said something really racist. You know what? And, you know, Muslims don't drink alcohol, so it makes perfect sense. And then you go, hey, it's just, right? But it's a funny joke, because sometimes someone in the audience will just, and you go, I think that's because of all the Muslim immigrants. Yeah. And then someone will go, it fucking is, mate. Whoa.
That's why I was laughing, because you said about the drinking dropping off, but you didn't mention the racism. Yeah. And I thought that was the end of the joke. But that's a
leadership thing. You know, they're rather than trying to be a positive politics, they're doing fear politics, because that's happening here.
Yeah, they just
find a, you know, demonise someone, and
yeah,
rather than pointing out the actual problems.
Yeah, but you do get that huge swathes of people are now like, Muslims are this and that. Like, fuck, they're not. What are you talking about?
I feel the same way about any religion, which is, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and it's time to grow up, right?
Yeah.
And there's a reason why religion happened, and it's because we didn't know how the world worked, and people were scared to die.
Yeah.
And then it's just a power structure thing, and it's the same thing. There's no God. There's no anything. But the way to make someone cling on to their religion even harder is to tell them to take off their hijabs and tell them to piss off home, or, well, you know,
take your
scarf off, you terrorists. And, you know, and what, some, if you're yelling that out to a 16-year-old girl on the street, she probably doesn't want to wear the scarf. She lives in Australia and she wants to hang out with her mates. She doesn't want to do what her parents tell her, which is go to thing. But as soon as someone yells that, what does she do? She gets frightened. She clings onto what she knows, and she fucking sticks with it, you know?
Yeah.
It's open arms, man. Open arms.
Exactly. You're right. I mean, there's enough proof now to show that it's nonsense.
Yeah.
It's fucking nonsense,
you
know? But I get it. I get why people cling onto it. Not just because of that, but like you say, people are scared that this is all there is.
Yeah.
And one day you won't be here. And people can't get their heads around that.
Yeah.
And that, I've kind of come to terms with it and gone, no, that's what's going to happen. So let's try and make the most of this. Which is another reason why I wanted to get my head straight with relationships and shit like that. So I'm like, fuck, I'm wasting time.
Yeah.
I'm upsetting people when this is all I'm probably got.
Yeah.
And it comes to that. But people are so, they want to be in control of it, don't they?
Yeah.
So they're like, I'm putting my...
Once you let go of that, once you think there's nothing else after this, so...
Yeah.
You know, and you make that decision. Like, I don't know. I don't remember consciously making a decision to not be religious, but I just worked it out. And then...
It's just there. Just ego doesn't make sense. It makes more... The science side of everything makes more sense to me.
Yeah, you read a few books, and I think I read a book from Kurt Vonnegut in my teenage years. And then you just... It's just like, well, this is just... You know, it's just mental. And then all the things that have been done, you know, in the name of religion, it's just this power.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, it's that trying to be in control of the world.
Yeah.
And that it's, yeah, the ego of these people. And you're like, fuck, do you know what? If you just calm down, we could all have a really nice time.
Yeah.
But everybody, there's all this, the ego of the people, they want to be the top dog. They want to be, it's like billionaires. Like,
yeah.
What are you going to spend it on?
Exactly. I don't, like, it's absolutely mental that someone who's worth millions of dollars, billions of dollars, whatever, wakes up and goes to work.
No.
You know,
no.
Like, it's, yeah. You know, like, who is it? Australia's richest woman, Gina Rinehart, you know, she's mining cattle properties, all this sort of thing. And she's like, it's like, what are you doing? She's in a board meeting somewhere. You know, it's obviously, you know, it's a power thing because she gets to go and she gives money to politicians and then gets... Yeah. Things done the way she wants.
Yeah,
and,
well, that's exactly it. It's this power, isn't it? And it's, you're like, I was again thinking about this the other day. I'm like, if I got enough money where I don't have to worry about it. I don't want yachts and helicopters and shit like that. But enough money that I never have to do anything.
Maybe a little yacht.
I don't know about a yacht. Maybe a speedboat, or something like that. One of them cigar boats that you get in Venice.
A submarine, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not being adventurous. Get a submarine. Yeah. But these people that it's just not enough to have more money than you'll ever spend. They just got to have. It's just they just like collecting it, don't they?
Yeah.
It's that accumulation of wealth.
There's something about collecting, and I can understand it from a certain point. You know, like I've been sort of trying to save money, and you watch it go up, and you're it's in four figures now.
Fuck, I can't remember the last time I was out of my overdraft.
Ooh, imagine what it'd be like to have seven figures. Ooh.
Not like comedy is at the minute in this country, man.
Checking your bank app on your phone, and then you have to turn your phone sideways because to fit in all the zeros. That's getting up. This is making me happy.
I just want my numbers to go from red to green.
That'd be nice. There's another little buzz for you.
Yeah. Oh man. And it's but I get it. I mean that these people have so much money they can't even see how much money they've got.
I'm talking from my own lived experience of never ever having that sort of money, so I don't know what it's like. It must be pretty, you know.
Yeah. Well, look at Justin Bieber. He's just come out saying how unhappy he is, and he's worth like $260 million.
Yeah.
And he's only a kid.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, if he's not happy.
Yeah. It's like,
what hope do you have?
Yeah. And then is it one of the Australian James Packer, who owns casinos and stuff like that, and you know, his dad was Kerry Packer, quite a huge media mogul personality type. And like, you know, his dad's one of his things, like, one of my proudest days was when James walked into the boardroom with me, and like, so obviously he's got a lot of pressure on him from his dad. But your dad's dead now. Like, buy an island, learn to surf, and you never, you know, like, you never, and he's got a battle with depression and a battle with weight loss and is in the, you know, and he was engaged to Mariah Carey and, like, so you're, like, just fucking quit. Like, just quit. You don't even,
you've
like,
got
just
it all.
Quit,
you've done
mate.
It. You've,
yeah, just,
you've completed planet Earth.
Just put $1 billion on your Visa debit card and do whatever you want.
Do what the fuck
what
you want.
What are you going to work for?
Yeah, your dad's not looking down on you. It's that thing as well. Where
yeah, dad's like, gone, mate. The pressure's off.
Yeah, just chill out, mate. Fucking chill. But, you know, that's the thing. These people get to these positions. They haven't got anyone to talk to, clearly. You know, because they're surrounded by people that are just kissing their asses in order to make sure they hang on to their careers and
like they generate a lot like a shark and all those little sucker fish, the remora fish that hang off
just a little ecosystem of
thriving. Just, you know, he's got a personal trainer that's probably making $1 million a year.
Yeah, he doesn't want him to not.
Yeah, he doesn't want him to be happy.
No, of course not.
He's got a personal chef that's on, you know, he's minted it. No, I keep eating, fat boy. I don't want you to go vegan, Jesus.
Talking to the personal trainer.
I've just got a mortgage. Personal trainer's like, just fill his food up with sugar.
I'll try and do my, I'll make it look like I'm helping him. Yeah, they're just all in it together, just ruining his kid's life. It's fucked, man. But I'm in a place now where I have cut a lot of the bullshit out. I'm not I haven't got my head up my arse as much as I used to. I'm not as, I do get trapped in my head a lot still sometimes, but not as much as I used to. So for example, like when you reached out, I had shit going on, so I wasn't as receptive as I should have been. Whereas now I'm more open to it.
Yeah, and that's also like someone, you know, it's just that matter. You just got to pick up the phone and you don't have to, not even reaching out or anything like that, but just bloody talk to your mates. You always feel good when you do it. You look through your phone and you think, fuck, I haven't spoken to him for ages.
That's right.
Just bloody call, hey mate, what's happening? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. What are you ringing for? Man. Just to say good day.
Yeah.
And then you hang up, he's a good bloke.
Yeah. I know, man. I get, when I've had people ring me, and that, like that, and I'm like, you're all right? They go, yeah, just, what do you want? And I'm just ringing up to say hello, which blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like, because people don't do that.
Yeah.
So when it happens, it's lovely. Yeah,
just saying
good day.
I like
doing things for people.
Yeah, like phones are, you can ring in as well as ring in. It pisses me off when someone says, you haven't fucking called me for an hour. It's like, dude, it works.
It goes both ways.
They're amazing. They're amazing, these things.
My mum, every time, I haven't spoken to my mum since before Edinburgh, so we're looking at, that's nearly 2 months. That's quite a long time. I'll give her that. But like you say, she's got a phone. She can ring me, but she's always like, well, you know, I never hear from you. Just a text. I'm like, Mum, text me.
Yeah.
You never text me. Yeah. You're always just sitting there. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Getting down to the meat of your problem with women, mate.
Yeah.
Bloody text your mum, you weasel.
No, you text me, Mum. Oh, mate.
Yeah. And that's you know, like when you say that someone reaches out to you, then you sort of, you've got to, it's like someone rang me during Comedy Festival in Melbourne. Mm. I'm like, hey, how's it going, man? Oh, not good. I feel like I'm struggling with my mental health. And a voice, that, you know, this old Nevo voice in the back of my head going, what the fuck? Why would you ring me up and tell me that? Jesus Christ, you fucking pussy. But my actual mouse is going, oh man, that's no good. Do you want to catch up? Let's go and have a coffee. Or, oh, you fucking Jesus Christ.
There is that. There is that old school mentality of, grow a pair.
Keep that under your hat. Jesus.
I don't want to catch your weakness. It is that. But this is the thing. We're going to be, we're now making the changes, so we won't really benefit from it. But the next generation will. The generations now will be a bit more.
Well, I think the world, like, I'm just, like, when was I? I'm born in 74. So, and I think, like, I think the world's changed, like, we're that last one. Like, because I'm in grade eight, like bullying, for instance, right? Bullying was part of life.
That's right.
It was part of life. And if you told someone you were getting bullied, they would say, punch him in the face.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do to a bully, punch him in the face, right? They would never say, go and tell a teacher.
No,
they would never say, you know, like, if you went and told a teacher, like, I was in, walked through the grade 11 locker rooms when I was in grade eight, cut a shortcut through there, got pinned up against the locker by, but in a double-handed nipple cripple, one nipple each, someone with a hand around my neck, Reece Seeley and Julian Edmonds, and like, what are you doing in the grade? You're not supposed to, and I'm pinned up a bottle lock around my neck, double nipple cripple. And then the shop teacher, Mr. Bowman, he walks through. He goes, what's going on here? And they put me down. And then he looks, he goes, you're not supposed to be in the grade 11 locker room. Get out. No. 3 years later, 4 years later, I'm in grade 11 and some kid walked through the grade 11 locker room. So we grabbed him and, you know, roughed him up a bit, get out of our locker room, you little weasel. Went and dobbed, and then next thing you know, we're in trouble for bullying. Well, what the fuck's happened here? That was in 4 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, our punishment was, they made us watch, what was the movie? The one, Flatliners.
Oh, fuck. That was,
because, you know,
punishment.
When they were, the point is, in the movie, they were bringing themselves near-death experiences to see what would happen in near-death experiences. And, like, they were all having flashbacks to when they bullied people. Oh, and, you know, it's like, bullying has consequences. This is a shit punishment. We're watching a movie. What the fuck? Imagine if I'd said to someone when I was in high school, I think I'm having a bit of trouble with my mental health.
Mm.
That would have been the, like, Nevo. There's our mental Nevo. Mental Nevo.
There's that nutbag.
Mental Nevo.
There was a kid.
Are you crying? You're hearing voices, are you, mental Nevo?
exactly that. And it's fucking horrible thinking back to that now. There was a kid, the story went round, his nickname became Catlick. Because someone said he put milk on his penis and made a cat lick it off.
Yeah.
And
we've all done that.
And that was a story. Yeah. And then, and everyone, and it, and again, so he got fucking bullied to death.
Yeah.
Everybody was doing it, and it's horrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, you couldn't have turned around and said to anyone, because the teachers would have gone, tough shit.
Yeah.
Fucking whatever. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
So now we've got this generation of us that are all stunted emotionally and.
Yeah, but I've got a cousin. What is he? He's eight years younger than me. Like I say, he's in that different time. And I know it's not universal or anything. But I was at we were at a party watching the grand final at his place, and he had a bunch of mates over all around his age. So I'm like the old, you know, everyone's 8 years younger than me, and someone's gone to the fridge to get some beers, right? Mm. Who wants another beer? And someone's gone, oh, no, I'm right, I've still got a bit of this one. And they went, I'll finish it off, you girl.
Yeah, right.
And then I was like, oh, girl's not an insult. You're not allowed to say, in my head, I thought, you're not allowed to say girl anymore. Right, yeah. And I wasn't going to say anything. But then within a second, they'd all turned on me, hey, girl's not an insult. It's fine to be a girl. He's a soft cock, not a girl. You're like, oh, look at all these little equality warriors. Isn't this nice?
Oh, mate. It's nice that it's changing. I'm glad that it's changing. Yeah. Even in comedy, and I've said this before, I remember when I started out 15 years ago, and like the middle spot was known as the girl spot.
Oh, right, yeah,
and
yeah.
And they never had more than one woman on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there was even back then, it was still that.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, what is that? You know, when if someone's... Like, it's really obvious when someone is does comedy that's a bit, like, misogynistic.
Mm.
And not even just a little, where it's like, well, dude, do you hate women or something? It's not the 80s anymore, man. It's not the 90s.
It's so obvious now. I've seen a couple of acts. I'm like, whoa, you hate women.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Yeah, when they talk about, I've seen it, they talk about, just the way they talk about them sexually.
Yeah.
They go, like, oh, yes, I'm out and I'm just trying to bang. I'm just trying to bang something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah,
we're not talking like that anymore. Come on, man. And it's funny, you're going back to having an affair.
And, you know, I grew up in the times I grew up in. I've yelled out of windows, car windows at women on the street and stuff like that.
Yeah. That was, again, peer pressure. I remember being working on...
Because if you didn't, there's a thing. You had to objectify women, and you had to objectify them often and loudly, or you were a fucking poofter.
You had to. Otherwise, you're going to get some shit. But it's funny. I was just about to say about having affairs and that. It seemed, I don't know if it's changing now, but it was like, if a man did it, he was a cheating arsehole. He's scum of the earth and that. But if a woman did it, it's like, it's because he's the problem and she's not happy, and it's fine for her to do it. There's that double standard. Well, I know some women that are just like, they just like sleeping with lots of men, and which is fine, but it's like, they don't make out that all men are bad, and because that doesn't help anybody.
No, look, it's not, you know, if you're thinking about cheating on someone, don't do it.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
It is horrible. It's horrible for everybody. Yeah. For you.
There's a reason why you're doing it, and it's because you're not happy.
Yeah,
and you're not. So just be honest. Work it out.
And instead of working out, it wasn't about notches on the bedpost and shit like that. But there was a buzz when you meet someone new. It's like, oh, that's exciting, and oh fuck. And then there's that element of, subconsciously there's that, have your cake and eat it. Like, you go, this is. We're not getting on, but you know, this is still, we're still living in this place, and it's fine.
Yeah.
I've got this bit of fun on the side, and so there is an element, there is a bit of that, and it's all confusing. I mean, now I've just contradicted myself completely, but do you know what I mean? It's a fucking minefield.
Yeah.
But if you're, but at the end of the day, if you're a decent person, you don't want to do that.
Don't do it.
Nah.
And it can happen without, you know, it happens, but you're better off not doing it.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Every time.
It's unhealthy.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I'm at now mentally. It's just nice. It's just, I'm gonna worry. Like, Jade can have my phone.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I can leave my phone on the side.
Yep.
And not even have to worry about it.
Yep.
I can go out.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, shit, my phone.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's great.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's
just leave my phone on the side, face up, sounds on. I never had a ringtone before.
Yeah.
And now I've got a ringtone. It's nice. This makes me sound really like, cunty. I was, a lot of it was, well, yeah, it's just getting into a mess, and now it's just really nice not to be.
Yeah.
what I have now, which is another thing I love, people talk about me. They go, oh, Richie's solid, like, trustworthy. Never had that before.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's sneaking around. He's always up to something. But now I'm like, no, Rich wouldn't do that. That's a nice feeling.
I hate blokes that are like openly cheating. You know?
Oh, when they bring you into it.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah, you're supposed to just go, oh yeah, right on, mate.
Yeah. It's like it's same as like, you know, just keep that shit under your hat. You don't, you know, it's between you and someone. I don't need to know about this.
Oh man, I've had that a couple of times, and you're like, dude, I'm friends with both of you.
Yeah.
And now I'm lumbered with this shit.
Yeah.
You know, if someone is a mate and they like, you know, they reach out and they go, look, this is happening. I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
you go, all right, okay, let's have a chat. But when it's like, oh, don't say nothing, but I'm bringing
how's what, and, yeah, how's what I did the other night? Oh, yeah. He's like, dude.
Don't tell me that. Some,
you know.
Yeah, or when I've been out and they've turned up with the other girl.
Yeah.
And they're like, and you've got to be all, oh, nice to meet you. Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, fuck, I don't. Now I'm involved.
Yeah.
You fucking wanker.
Yeah. Keep that under your hat.
Yeah.
Be open about your mental health. No worries. But keep that shit under your hat. Like, if you're going to do it.
Yeah. If that's your bag.
Yeah.
Mate. But now Nikki's moving to Australia.
Yeah, that's it.
Fuck
yeah.
So on it.
That was a fun hour when I found that out. And, you know, like, it's all exciting and very good. But, you know. All of a sudden, just through it's a career thing is why it's more of a career thing than a us deciding to, you know, than that. But yeah, all of a sudden she just out of the blue goes, hey, I'm moving to Australia. Whoa.
That wasn't
our plan. We've got a plan. Why are you changing the plan?
I just meet you in Bali every 6 months.
Right, okay, yeah. Sorry, I did react unexpectedly to that news, didn't I?
Trying to make all your counts and
right,
techniques
kick you're
in.
Right, I should have been more excited.
I get that with Jade. If she tells me something, if I don't act immediately how she expected me to, or needs me to, all right, man, it kicks off.
Yeah.
And it might be just a moment where my brain's gone, oh, what do you think of that?
Yeah.
And that's all I'm doing. But because I haven't gone, yo, that's the best thing I've ever heard. Man, that ruins an evening.
Yeah.
That's fucked. Yeah. Fucking men.
We're the worst, man. We're the worst.
We all want to be this, we want to be that, and we're fucking getting our own way.
It's always just like, you know, you need a moment to process.
Yeah.
Don't expect a reaction straight away. Just give me a moment to process.
Yeah.
Maybe you're walking in the door and someone goes, hey, surprise, happy birthday. It's like, what the? All these people have conspired against me. They've all been keeping a secret. You motherfuckers. Hang on, no. Whoa, yay.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, that's in a split second. Yeah. Just give me a minute.
Every one of you was in on this. I thought we were mates. I mean, yeah, oh wow, guys, this is the best.
Oh, you're good at secrets. Oh, if you can keep these secrets.
30 of you. Really? You're all in on it. Some of my best friends too. You fuck. Yay! Oh, no, this is a wonderful surprise.
It's good. I'm glad that you're in a better place.
Yeah, me too, man.
Yeah.
It's been good, mate. Good chat.
Yeah, it's been good, man. Sorry, it's in the car, though.
Ah, these things happen, mate. It adds to it.
Yeah, it's part of the adventure. Thank you so much for coming down. Really appreciate it. Insane in the Membrane podcast.
Insane in the Membrane is back for another live podcast recording on Sunday the 23rd of February.
I found that through humour, people open up and we have a laugh. And I really appreciate you coming down and doing this.
This is an intimate live show with comedian Rich Wilson and very special surprise guest in front of a small audience at the Pleasance Islington. In fact, you are so close to the comedians, you could probably lick them.
We can have a laugh while we do it. I think that's what I'm trying to show with the podcast.
January's a struggle for us all, so put yourself something to look forward to in February. Insane in the Membrane live at the Pleasance. Sunday, Feb 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Just £5. Nearest tube, Caledonian Road, Piccadilly Line. Dead easy, no excuses.
You did great, Rich.
Thanks, Bob.
You did as well. Great.
Thank you.
Click the link in the show description for this episode on your podcast app or go to pleasance.co.uk.
What do we do now?
I don't know. I think that's it. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
And check back here for the next episode of Insane in the Membrane, released every Thursday night at 6.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.